Today on Real Radio.
I'd like you to mark this down. I read it today. It's a pretty cool thing to keep in mind. It's a good little jingle to remember. All murder, listen, all murder is killing. But not all killing is murder.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, our text for today is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, which in some translations says, "You shall not kill." Yet Scripture at times talks about killings that are not condemned by God, who indeed is the one who commands this. Why? Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs is here to unpack and get down to the specifics of commandment number 6.
Oh, by the way, the night before your hanging, you know what they did? They would bring in your casket and put it in the room with you. You know why they did that? See, today people would say, "That's torture! That's torture! Can't do that!" Do you know why England did it? They brought the casket in and caused the man to be aware that his life's coming to an end soon. You better accept Christ and be saved and go to heaven. People today, the ACLU would sue over that. You're bothering the guy by doing that. Right? Think about it. Can't do that. England said, no, it helps people make the decision for Jesus and they go to heaven when they die. Can you imagine? How beautiful is that? You're guilty of murder, and then the preacher, the pastor comes in and says, oh, by the way, you can accept Christ if you're convicted of your sins, if you understand and confess that you're a murderer. Jesus died for your sins on the cross, and you can have your sins forgiven. Isn't that amazing? What have you done in life? Jesus can forgive you of it. Even murder. The Bible says concerning Christ, all manner of sin shall be forgiven a man if he trusts Christ. Lying, cheating, stealing, murder. But that man in England knew he was going to be dying. The Lord says, yes, because of man's life being taken, the perpetrator, his life shall be taken. It's called capital punishment. And it wasn't until after the flood of Noah did God grant authority to man to exercise capital punishment. There's the realm of jurisprudence. That is authorized to take life. The judicial system given in the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy in the book of Leviticus. Self-defense. When is a person authorized to take a life? Did you know it's not only jurisprudence, but self-defense? Self-defense authorizes a person to take another one's life in the Bible. Exodus 22, verse 2. Exodus 22, verse 2 says, if a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of his bloodshed. You better write that down. The way this works. No, I'm just thinking about just the violence of our age in the world today. But if a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender, that's the homeowner, is not guilty of the bloodshed. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Self-defense. If a guy breaks into your home tonight, you don't need to ask him, why are you here? I had a young lady not too long ago ask me a similar scenario in the courtyard after a service. She says, my husband wants to get some home protection, and I'm against it. And I said, well, you know, you guys have to work that out yourself. What are you asking me for? And I don't remember what she said, but she left the door open for me to come back to ask this question. I said, well, what are you going to do if a bad man comes into your house? You have kids? Yes, we have two kids. What do you have? What kind of kids? Two girls. Two girls, okay. Two girls. Bad man comes in your house. Your husband's concerned about that. Bad man comes in your house, and he's got a machete or a gun, or according to the Bible, the guy just breaks into your house. And you're in the house. What are you going to do? Call, she said, and she meant very well. I'm going to call 911. I said, that's great. That's what we pay those taxes for. You right on. That's great. It's going to take them 7-8 minutes to get there. That's fast. But what if the guy charges you? What if he's running down the hallway with a machete? What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to fight him. Okay. But what if he says, I'm going to rape you and your daughters? As soon as I said that, she said, I'd kill him. Look, there's not a mom or a dad in this room right now that would not say that and do the same thing. Why? God put that in you. Why? Because if a man does not provide protection or provide for his own home, he's worse than an unbeliever. And people who think theoretically but never live the real world, they say, well, you know, let's talk about that for a while. No, the reality is, if a man comes in or if anybody comes in to perpetrate evil against your family, the Bible says you need to deal with that person. See, what if I hit him in the head and he is dying, he's laying on the floor dying? Give him the gospel. Give him Jesus. But what if he gets up? Knock him down again, but give him Jesus. Be thou... Lay hands on him very firmly. Some of you young people, you're probably having a hard time with this, huh? It's okay, just wait. Someday you'll have kids. And you'll go, I remember a weird night at church. The pastor was talking. Luke 22:35, and Jesus said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsacks, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. And then he said to them, but now, this is the second launch of the disciples out into the world. He who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. What was Jesus saying? You're going out into a very dangerous world now. I'm going back to heaven. You guys are on your own. Protection. Self-defense. Sanctioned in the Bible. Number three tonight, the sixth commandment. Is there a difference between murder and killing? The sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And some Bibles say kill. Notice this, Bible student. Take your highlighter. In Exodus 20:13, highlight the word you. It's very powerful. You, the you here, is the personal singular sense in the Hebrew. In the individual sense, this excludes the act of nations or armies. It is you alone, individual person. You as an individual person shall not murder or kill. That's why some translators have some with the word kill and some with the word murder. Murder is more accurate in the context, but an individual by themselves alone is not authorized to kill. Whimsically, off, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. Nope. Bible says nope. But is there a difference between murder and killing according to the Bible? In fact, for that matter, according to human nature, I'd like you to mark this down. I read it today. It's a pretty cool thing to keep in mind. It's a good little jingle to remember. All murder, listen, all murder is killing. But not all killing is murder. You need to write that down. That's a good one. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. Yes, there's a profound difference between the two. We don't always use the right words as we ought to, but this is extremely important and necessary. Because you're going to get into debates with people on campus or at your work about thou shalt not, you know, you guys, you Americans believe in the Second Amendment and you claim to be a Christian nation, and yet the Bible says you shall not kill. Well, it says you shall not murder, and it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. It's very important. Zechariah, listen to this. This is kind of freaky in our minds. This might blow somebody's minds tonight to hear this. Zechariah 14:2 says regarding the Lord, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. This is in the last days. It's the last days or yesterday, I'm not sure yet, but it's the last days. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Isn't that freaky? You know, have you ever read that in the Bible where it will often say the Lord will fight for Israel as he did in the day of battle? And the Lord will defend them as he did in the plains of... You say, when did the Lord show up in battle? Isn't that a creepy thought? And yet we know from Scripture that there are battles that take place, and apparently invisibly, I would assume, yes, invisibly the Lord somehow is in that battle and is the one that turns the battle or causes the battle to go a certain direction. Isn't that amazing? And for Israel, listen, that's why... You don't mess with Israel because the Lord shows up to defend Israel. That's amazing. And the Bible says in the last days, when the nations gather against Israel, the Lord is going to fight for them. And we think of Jesus walking down the beach in Newport, you know. He's got his board and he's got his looking, yeah, right? He's kind of Newport beachy looking. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, his face is brighter than the sun. The sun, in fact, is dimmed in his presence. His eyes are as a flame of fire. His hair and his beard is white as wool, as white as snow. And his robe on his thigh, it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's got a sash across. He's got this amazing purple, like, sash across his chest. And he has a sword, except not in his hand. The Bible says he opens his mouth, and a sword comes out, which is the word of God. And the Bible says in the last days, by the way, that he's going to speak a word to the Antichrist. That's yet future. He's going to speak a word, and the Antichrist will be destroyed with a word. That's going to be amazing. And people's going, I can't deal with that. I can't cope with that. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. You're going to. Yeah. See, right now, man, you want to come to Jesus right now because he's like this. He's just waiting right now. It's, come on, come to me. Come on, I'm going to be getting the show on the road here pretty soon. You need to come to me. Evil is advancing. If I don't return, there'll be no flesh saved on the earth, he says. So you come on, you come to me, you accept me. You come, quick, get safe. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, I think it is, he says he's going to take his people and put them in their chambers, and then he will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins. My sins were punished at the cross at Jesus' death. And that can be your hope too. Your assured hope, not your hope. I'm not into any hope. Well, I hope. I sure hope this turns out. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. I'm talking about an assured hope. It's a factual hope. Number four, what about being a warrior, a soldier, or an officer, a judge, or a jury? You ever think about that? What about being a warrior or an officer, police officer, a judge, or someone that's on a jury? There is such thing as legal war. War is not murder. Don't raise your hands, but any military personnel in here tonight or any military personnel listening right now or watching, war is not murder, God says. Any law enforcement who has taken a person's life in a violent situation, that's not murder, God says. It doesn't even record on God's scope. It's not there. It's not murder. War and the soldiering it is called, is authorized to take life. The example, I'll give you one example. It's not only 1 and 2 Samuel, it's the book of Judges. The book of Joshua as well. War is not murder. People today on blogs and on certain news channels, in fact, listen, our soldiers tragically are told these days, don't wear your uniform in public. Why? Because in some cultures, listen, they can't do it in San Francisco. Did you know what's going on? When soldiers and sailors wore their uniforms in San Francisco, they were mocked and spit on and called just recently baby killers, soldiers, murderers. They were holding up signs, murderers. No, listen, war. God has sanctioned war. People don't want to hear this, but it's the reality. God has sanctioned war, and until the Prince of Peace returns, there's going to be war. If a nation wants to invade us and attack us, the Bible says you have the right to stand up and fight. So I'm not going to do that. Then you're going to be a slave. Or worse. Psalm 144, verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Listen, if I'm in the Marine Corps or anything else, I'm going to pray that verse. Jack, are you kidding me? Pastor, you're freaking me out. You know who prayed that prayer? King David prayed that prayer. And as long as there's evil people and evil nations, God uses the righteous to deal with the unrighteous. Exodus 15:3, "The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name." If you are a soldier tonight, don't let anyone tell you that you are a murderer. God has sanctioned killing in the theater of war. Romans 13, verse 1, God has sanctioned killing by the officer. Did you know that? Romans 13, 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Where do you live? What country? What county? What state? "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works." If you're doing good, you're not afraid of a police officer, "but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." That's law enforcement. This should be posted in schools today. "Well, you can't do that. That'll damage some kid's brain." I hope you're getting this. An officer that shoots in a violent situation, someone, and they die, has not committed murder. Listen to this. A judge that presides over a case that results in punishment, maybe the electric chair or lethal injection, that judge did not commit murder. If a jury or a juror decides that a person's guilty and the verdict is guilty and it leads to the death of the perpetrator, they did not commit murder. Have you ever been on a case? Have you ever done that kind of stuff? You realize that? Wow. You're not guilty of murder. God says so. Number five, it's this. Why should the sixth commandment matter at all to us anyway? For this reason. The sixth commandment matters, if you forget everything else, remember this, because life comes from God alone, and life is to be governed by God and his word. Life is precious. And a little word about that. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Think about this in your mind. And man became, mark that word, man became a living being. I love this. Here's the reason why. Evolution is insanity on drugs. I mean, honestly, let's be honest about that. Teachers will stand, professors will stand with apparent authority. This is the way it was. The world, and have you ever noticed this? The world came into being this way, and this happened, and this, and then the thing happened, and there's a lightning strike, ammonia, mud hole, temperature was right, this thing began to wiggle, came out, began to rub its nose, turned into an eyeball, thought it needed to, got two of them, walked around, lost its scales, got some fur, dumped the fur, got some skin. And they stated, like, look, 1,000 years ago, I used to be in school. I heard it all. Some of you young people are hearing it now, and that's the way it is. And you ask the teacher, excuse me, how do you know that? Well, that's the way it is. Were you there? How do you know? Was anybody you know there? What's the evidence? I'd like to see, is there any eyewitness accounts? Is there any evidence? Is there any transitional forms with the fossil record? Do we have a lizard with feathers? Huh? We don't. Do we have a something with one wing or maybe half a wing? And why are there still monkeys? What's taken our brothers so long to get with the program? I mean, it's insane. I don't have enough faith to be an evolutionist. That's huge faith. The Bible says, and the Word became a living soul. The Word means this, now, instantly, at the moment. Notice this. Isn't it interesting that we've been taught, now, if a person is dying, that we are to give them CPR, and part of it is breathing into their nose, into their mouth, right? And isn't that something? It saves life. The Bible says God formed Adam out of the dirt. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? God sculpting. He shapes him. And God goes, and Adam goes, can you imagine? There's this, and then he stands up. Adam stands up and he looks, the first human. And he's standing there. And the Bible says, by the way, Adam's created in perfection. He wasn't like, what am I doing here? He didn't sound like Sylvester Stallone. He was perfect. Imagine, no one's ever lived. No one's ever been smarter. No one has ever had that experience. Adam opens his eyes, and in some way, shape, or form, God is before him. And it wasn't weird. He didn't go, oh my gosh, you're God! He just went, hi, this is fantastic, you know? It was amazing. God created man. The evidence is overwhelming. Everything around this universe that we enjoy, in fact, let me take that back. Everything that we look around in this universe, period, has been created. And the evidence is overwhelming. From the chair you're sitting on to your eyeball, all of it has an engineer. All of it has a designer. And his fingerprints are on everything. Murder is to premeditate the destruction of another human being. Jesus says, yes, but you better be careful, because if you have hatred in your heart towards somebody, you're on the brink of murder in the committing of it. But God says, I know it inside your heart. You are a murderer inside your soul. If you could do it, you would. So tonight, if that's in your heart, you need to get that crucified at the cross tonight. You need to take it to the cross tonight. Tonight, if you're a soldier, my heart keeps going out to the military. You got to get this squared away in your heart, soldier. Don't listen to crazy mindsets. God says, you're not a murderer. The theater of war is sanctioned by God. May God have mercy on our culture that makes light of murder because we have forgotten God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the sixth of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. It's a valuable lesson today on a commandment that sometimes leads to unnecessary controversy simply because it's misunderstood. There's more to come in this topical collection of studies, which takes a look at all 10 commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so please be sure to join us. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can check out Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And look for the program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, Journey with Jack Hibbs. But did you also know that on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live? That's hischannel.com. That's Wednesday nights at 7:30 West Coast time. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.